Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
Welcome to Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. I'm Lawrence Owen, and back with me, yay, is my co-host, my guy, Donald Thomas. Donald, how you been, my guy?
Oh, man, I've been good, brother. How you been?
I'm doing, you know, a gift, right? Every day is a gift. So,
yeah, absolutely. But,
a lot of stuff around NFL. Most is centered around the NFL draft right now, being that, you know, it starts in a week, right? We have the draft in 1 week. And so I've gotten a few questions off of Twitter. I got a few questions of my own to kind of direct towards you, since I've already discussed a lot. We're going to kind of get your opinion on a few things in this episode. So I hope you're ready to get some nitty gritty in the dirt answers here on what's going on in your opinion on stuff.
Nah, we'll get it. Yeah. I mean, you want my opinion, I'll give it to you. You know, I'll hold back. So.
Yep, absolutely. That's what we love about you, my guy. But before we get started, I got to remind everybody that BetOnline is still your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, NFL, and more. BetOnline continues to be your fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign in today and get in on the action. Remember, use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. So I'm going to open this up, Don, and what I'm going to do is I got a couple questions from Twitter, and honestly, I've got my own opinions on these, but people already know my opinions. We got to know yours, so... at Ellenberg Sam asks, what do you think about the Colts defensive line? Should they make a move at edge if any of the highly touted edges drop to 15?
Well, you know, the defensive line last year was definitely a strong point for the Colts. I mean, it was a bright spot. They were the ones that allowed the Colts to pressure the least and get the most pressure up front without having to, you know, blitz and bring linebackers into play or secondary guys. So, to say the least, like, here's the thing. Before we even go any further, like, you can always upgrade at any spot, any group of guys. We always can find some type of upgrade. So, if there's an edge rusher available, do you take that edge rusher? Is that the biggest point of concern with the guys that you already have? I don't think so. I think that, you know, DeForest Buckner just re-signed, right? You got great young guys that are in the stable right now that are developing. And the key is, what a lot of people forget is, like, it's not about the instant gratification. Sometimes it is, but it doesn't always work out like that. We've got to develop guys. And I think the Colts are taking the approach of, we've got young guys, we've got talented guys that kind of flew under the radar. And they're making a name for themselves, and they're developing into the players that we want them to be. Is that worthy of, you know, us going and taking the number 15 pick as an edge rusher? Listen, if a Dallas Turner is there at 15, which I highly doubt, I mean, you'd be a fool not to take him. But in the case of who else is there that you think is going to instantly come in and make an impact right away, and that be your first round pick, you better be positive. They're a huge upgrade from the guys that you have in your D-line room right now on the edge, and it's going to come in and going to play right away because, you know, like, I love them. Don't get it wrong. When I was with the Colts, like, Bashawn Werner, from Germany, Florida State kid. Like, he was a first round pick, right? And did he come in and turn heads and make immediate impact? No, right? And so I love the guy. I still talk to him to this day. He's back in Germany. But if you're going to take a guy at 15, he's playing, he better be, if not sack leader, he better be up there number two, and he better be making an impact on games.
Yeah, I do believe that that is a situation with the pass rush, is you better be darn sure. Because, as you said, you know, the defensive line as a whole, I think they played pretty darn good last year as a whole. But the only difference, I mean, they broke the Indianapolis Colts sack record, right? Most sacks by the Indianapolis Colts in the team history. But the Colts haven't had a 10-plus sack guy since 2018 in Justin Houston, right? And I think that's a lot of people are like, you know, it's more of a group effort. And if part of that group falters, then you're in trouble, you know? So I think a lot of people are curious about that. I agree with the just don't take anybody, right? Just because at this point, that first pick needs to be an impact player on the team, period. End of discussion, in my opinion. But yeah. Next on the line, we got at Speed Maverick One. He says, how do you feel about the wide receiver room? It gets so much flack. I think it's just been underutilized with poor quarterback play.
Well, they all both go hand in hand, right? So, you know, you can't completely say that. What I hear a lot about when you're around town, and, you know, we don't have the most talented receiver core. And to be quite honest, we haven't had the best quarterback play in the past few years either, right? And so is it the receivers? Is it the quarterback, right? Which one is it? Is we need a better quarterback, but we need our receivers aren't good enough for that quarterback, or our quarterback's not good enough for these receivers that could be potentially really good players, right? I would look at upgrading the wide receiver room 100%. You know, you just tied up a lot of money into the wide receiver room. But we knew that, you know, there had to be money distributed to that room for that one guy to help those other, Michael Pittman, to help those other guys out. Does that affect the way that you look at it in the draft? 1,000%, right? I mean, but like, if we're going to go all in, right, if we're going to say, you know, like, all right, last year was our quarterback. We went all in on that. That hopefully will work out for us here in the future. Well, he needs weapons in order for him to not be a one-trick pony, and it can't just be the Michael Pittman show, right? And there's a slew of what we would call in Colts Nation somewhat quality, you know, receivers that are still in that room. But if there's a pick at 15 that's better than our number two guy, I don't see why that would be an issue for us not to look at that as a strong possibility to take someone, you know what I'm saying, at that pick to help us out in that room. Because I'm telling you right now, if you don't put as much as you can around Anthony Richardson this year, if you don't give him a chance, if you don't bulk up this offensive line somehow a little bit, if you don't get him big time targets to throw to, we know what we have in Jonathan Taylor, but if you don't do any of these things to build this thing around him, then I don't know what else is, like, you have to put this, like, it comes down to this. We can talk about position by position, and I love to do that. But the grand scheme of things, we have to build around Anthony Richardson, period. So I would take a receiver. I've been saying that this whole time. I'm not going to say, like, if we go to another position and you say, like, people are like, well, then you take an offensive tackle. Like, because I'm building around this kid, because I can't afford for him to have another year like what we just went through, or for him to be feeling like he's under duress every time the ball snapped to him and he's got people screaming down the back of his neck, you know, in 2 seconds. So, like, either we're going to protect him or we're going to give him some targets to throw to. One or the other, but it's got to start there and from the inside out.
I'm going to take this off to the side. You're talking about getting them weapons with the wide receivers. I do agree with that. Somewhere in this draft, whether it's 1, 2, 3, whatever, you know, get someone that's going to be at least pushing for the number two spot, right? Mm-hmm. But what about Brock Bowers? Does he fit in that equation somewhere with you? Do you know anything about Brock Bowers, the tight end that's highly touted that people think may or may not make it to 12, let alone fall back to 15 for the Indianapolis Colts?
Do I know about Brock Bowers? I mean, who doesn't know about Brock Bowers? I mean, he's a special player. You know, I think that I'm glad that you moved to that because I'm saying weapons, right? It don't have to be a receiver. It could be a tight end. I think that Brock Bowers will be it's an instant upgrade to the tight ends that we have on the roster. No shot at anybody, but this is the real deal. Like, we're always going to upgrade. If there's a better player out there, we're going to try to be one on your team.
Yeah.
Will he be there at 15? I highly doubt that he'll be there at 15, right? So is it a possibility to even consider somebody like that? Because I think from him to the next tight end in the draft is a big drop-off. Mm-hmm. And so do you concern yourself even looking at that scenario? I think you look at it from a standpoint of if he's there, you hope and pray the pick 14 doesn't take him. But I don't think that he'll be there. Now, if he's there, the Colts better take him because, like, he's gonna help in the run game. He's gonna definitely help in the pass game. He's gonna be a big moving target for Anthony Richardson to throw to. He's got sure hands. He's got good feet. You know, his route running is damn good. You know, like, and so, like, you know what you're getting out of that kid. But like that's a first round pick. That's instant upgrade. That's instant offense. That's something that you look at. The Colts need instant offense. So whoever this first pick is, it has to be instant offense. It has to be complete impact player, whether that is impact from a protection standpoint or impact from a person who can make plays in crunch time and electrify and get the offense ignited to do something. But it's got to happen, and it's got to be on the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion, first and foremost.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so that kind of somewhat answers the question that Speed had on the second part of his question, the return of the secondary for the Indianapolis Colts, the team that gave up was 30th NFL in passing yards allowed. Do you think it's as bad as some say, or do you feel like, you know, he says that he saw flashes that they could indeed prove to work out over time? Should they go with a corner in this draft, or they just, you know, the problem, all you would be doing is adding to the problem of inexperience with this draft that they already have?
They're young guys. They're very youthful. Did they struggle last year? Yes, they struggled. They had their injuries, had their ups and downs. We just used a second round pick on a corner last year. Right? Like, how many first, second round picks are you going to put in a room with no production? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just calling a spade a spade. So at the end of the day, like, I felt like I was waiting for the Colts in free agency to see, like, what big time DB was going to come in here. My thing was, like, even if you kick the tires on someone who got released that's a little bit older, that, like, you'd be like, but I'm doing this for a reason because they're building mm-hmm. around him. He's going to make this whole room better with the knowledge and experience and be able to coach these guys. And he still has some tread left on the tires. And I don't think that was addressed, but hey, I'm not in that position to do that. Do I think that there has to be an upgrade in that room, right? So do you go after a safety in the first round? Do you go after a safety in the second round? I think that our two glaring or three glaring spots last year that needed work or needed upgrade, one of them was in the DB room, right? Like, we all said that all throughout the whole year. It wasn't the D-line, it was the DBs. If it wasn't the DBs, then sometimes you could point your finger at the linebacker play, right? And so, like, when you look at the defense side of the ball, I feel like DB needs to be addressed. I feel like it's a weapon for Anthony Richardson, right? Then it's has to be another upgrade in the DB room, number two. That'll be my 2A or whatever you want to call it, A, B, whatever. And then I would seriously look at a tackle. I would seriously look at a tackle, but we've been doing that forever too. So it's just like, what do we, like, we really need to, you can upgrade at every position, but like, what is the team needs and strengths? Like, what are weaknesses and what do we really need? What can we bandage and hope that we can develop a guy? But like, in that DB room, like, every week somebody was talking crazy about one of them. Mm-hmm. Every week somebody was talking crazy about it. I mean, like, and I would try to be nice because I'd be like, nah, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like, all right, well, but why though? Like, you have to look at it from another standpoint too, right? And so, like, you can't keep just bringing in guys that are supposed to be highly touted or high draft picks and the room's still bad. So the only other option or only other person to look at is coaching. Because at the end of the day, like,
the assistant DB's coach was let go. Mike Mitchell was let go this offseason. So
assistant DB coach doesn't mean anything. It's just another guy in the room. Who's the DB coach? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the best, like, that doesn't do anything. Like, you can fire an assistant offensive line coach and nothing changes. You can fire an assistant defensive line coach and nothing changes. The position coach, the guy who makes the decisions, who gives the techniques out, who coaches the guys, who gets that group going, doesn't matter about an assistant. Assistant is just like having a paraplanner for a lawyer or having a teacher's aide that just sits there and just, hey, sends an email out saying, don't forget there's a test on Friday. Like, it doesn't mean anything. So, like, when I'm looking at it from a standpoint of, yeah, like, a coach is supposed to develop guys and get that room going and lead, right? But you can only do as much as you can with what you've been given. But if I keep giving you high draft picks, they've proven that they're worth a high draft pick, right? Like, so this kid's talented, so coach him up, get him trained up, get him ready to rock and roll as much as you're getting everyone else in the room to go, like, we can say that, yes, we need to upgrade that room, but we also maybe need to upgrade a coach. We don't talk about that, though.
Kurt, defensive back coach for the Indianapolis Colts, is Ron Miles, and he's been there for a couple of years now. Brought in when the defensive coordinator was brought in. So, I mean, it's been there a couple of years, 2 years. We'll see what happens. You know, if we don't see any improvement in this year, I really will double down on your take and feel like that we would need to move on if you can't get any kind of an upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you keep pushing on the offensive tackle. I feel like our left tackle, the second-year guy that we had at left tackle, really did some massive improvement last year. But on the right tackle, when Braden Smith was out with injury, which he was a lot last year, the guys that was put out there was not doing well at all. And I feel you on that a little, you know. I'm like, is Smith going to be able to hold up? Because when he's in the game, he's pretty good, you know, but he's been injured quite a bit over the last few years. And a lot of people have had that, you know, question. The best ability is availability, right? And if you can't be available, we need to find someone who can be, and they got to be a good guy, right? They got to be someone that can sit over there at the tackle position and perform their job very well. So absolutely. So one more question before we get out of here, and this was going to be from me to you. Not going to be bad, but I'm just curious. How heavily should the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard, be looking into possibly making a trade-up move to get an impact player in this draft? Or should he absolutely just sit at 15?
It depends on – okay, so here's the – here's – okay, so this is – that's a great question, Lawrence. Let me give you that one. That's a really great question. We can all sit here, and everyone can sit at every local watering hole around Indiana that's a Colts fan and talk about what the Colts need to do, who they need to pick, where they need to pick them, where they need to move up in the draft. If Chris Ballard doesn't feel like that is the move, then we're just wasting time. Because, yes, like, everybody would like to move up to get the pick they want, because guess what? The other team might need it too, right? We don't even know. Does Chris Ballard think that a tight end position is a big glaring hole that I need to fulfill with a Brock Bowers-type talent, right? Mm-hmm. Is he worth a first-round pick? Or he might be thinking along the lines of a first-round pick in he might pick a corner, or he might go and he might pick a guard. Like he, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just don't know. Do I feel like, yes, should you try to move up to secure a pick for who you want? It just depends on how much you're giving up for it, though. Like, I'm not going to move up like six spots and give away like my next year's first round pick, or like two second round picks for the next 2 years. I'm not doing that. Like, it's got to make sense. Like, it's got to be like, all right, I lose a fourth round pick, but I move up and I gave up like something like where like a mid rounder, so to speak. But like, that's going to be huge because like, another team. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think right now, like you're in that midpoint. I think you just, you hold tight. If you can get who you can get for what you can get, I think you stay there. Now this is like, I'm at three and I need to move up to one because I know that this franchise player, we got to get him and we're going to give up, you know, the next couple years of first round picks for that. That's a different story, right? But like, Brock Bowers could be there. Potentially, he's probably not going to be there, right? And so I think you just sit tight, man.
I am of the opinion of sitting tight as well. And the reason I am of that opinion is I'm looking at positions that could be upgraded with the first pick of this draft and the depth, how many players right now that will go in the first round. And you're looking at a lot of offensive linemen that's going to go, quarterbacks. You're looking at four or five quarterbacks they're talking about possibly in the top 10, right? A lot of wide receivers, but this wide receiver class is incredibly deep, right? Yeah. So, and then there's a couple corners. There's, if you're looking for an edge, if you think that, you know, oh my goodness, like we talked about, if it gets heavy, you know, where a lot of offense goes in the first, you know, 10, 12 picks, you'll have basically your choice of anyone on the defense in this draft, right? Which would absolutely, you know, upgrade the team. By getting your top defensive guy, if that's where the route you want to go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, because in my opinion, that first pick doesn't necessarily need to be a need. It needs to be an impact player, flat out, right? Something that is going to impact this team and help them win games no matter what. They need to be able to play day one and be an upgrade at whatever position they're at. And that's how I see it. And I feel like what the Colts need, where they can be upgraded, and the way this draft looks, I feel like they can definitely get that at 15. That's my opinion.
I mean, you're spot on with that. Like, you're right in that midpoint where you're kind of no man's land. Like, you're not in a bad spot. You're not in the great. You're not in the worst spot. Like, you're right there where it's like, hey, some things might shake up to where that player falls in our lap. Let's just shut up and hope for the best and have like our 1A, 1B kid ready to go. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was a matter of like top five and I got to get this guy and I need to move up to like two or three or one, I got to give the house away for like, but it's going to help us in the future. Like, that's different. But like, when you're at 15, like right in the middle, like, you better be sure.
Mm-hmm.
You better be sure that if you're going to jump into that top 10 pick range, like you said, that's instant offense. That's instant impact. That is a franchise player that you're potentially giving future picks away, and it's going to hurt our draft for the next couple of years, but I'm doing this off of this one kid. He's a generational talent. You better be sure of it. So, like, if I was him, I'd just hold tight, man. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, the thing is Colts fans got to realize is, like, there's so much unknown with the quarterback situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just be 100% honest. Like, no one knows what's about to happen. Like, this is Anthony Richardson's, potentially rookie season all over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he only what four games, like whatever it was, like super small sample of NFL experience. There's a lot to worry about here when it comes to what this team's going to look like. This could very well be, a lot of people don't want to listen to me, but this could very well be, you know, a year where it's not going to be like a rebuild year, but it's going to be like a revamp. Like, it's going to be a year where there's still a lot of filling out to do. Like, we need to figure out who our team identity is the first quarter of the season. There's going to be a lot of evolution on offense, a lot of evolution on defense, I feel like. And it's probably going to be some bumps in the roads. It's going to be some ups and some highs and some lows, some ups and some downs during the season. But you got to remember, you potentially still have a rookie quarterback that's learning the game. He's seeing new things, exotic blitzes, different fronts, like, You're going to have moving parts around him. You're going to have some new guys up front in front of him. You're going to have some new targets he has to learn how to throw to and learn these route concepts and all this kind of stuff. Like, there's a lot that's going into this thing. It's just not going to be a first round pick that's going to save the day. Like, it's going to be collective effort at the end of the day. And it's going to take from quarterback and everyone else to understand this, that like, it's essentially last year all over again. Like, to be fair, like, your backup's gone that played the whole year for you. He's gone. So it's essentially Anthony Richardson's show, but like, he's comfortable being here, but he's not comfortable being here, if that makes sense. Like, he hasn't been on the field like long enough for him to be comfortable, right? And even if he was on the field all last year, still only his second season. So there's a lot to be said with that. And so you just need someone who's going to make his job just a little bit easier, whether it's a target, whether it's someone protecting him. It's going to have to come from that type of like pick that needs to happen early on in the draft that's going to fall into line. And hey, listen, at 15, you're going to get a quality receiver. Hopefully, you know, just as long as the kid's not a bust. At 15, you can get a quality backup, you know, quality tackle that can step in and take over, you know, like if you don't want to start right away. At 15, I think that's a good pick. Like, hey, like, let's give this kid a chance. You know, like, we know that, you know, probably by week five, week six, or a hold off half the year. Like, when I was in New England, they did the same thing. They drafted a first round tackle in the first round, and he was behind Matt Light because they knew that this is Matt Light's last year, the Purdue guy. Mm-hmm. It was Matt Light's last year. So let's get him under Matt. Let's get him learning under Matt. And then he takes over after a year. It's not a bad option, right? So, like, I would look at it from a standpoint of that. Like, that's where I would go, because essentially you need to do everything you can to make Anthony Richardson successful. Because you that was your pick. That was your house last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like – I feel like Shane Steichen will put Anthony Richardson in a position, the best position he can, to help him succeed. But, again, I'm not going to sit here and say that last year I didn't go, well, crap, he's hurt again, or – well, what are you doing overthrowing that guy over and over and over, right? Yes, he is an explosive, exciting player to watch, but there are some things about Anthony Richardson that he absolutely needs to improve on. you know, especially if he's going to succeed at the pro level. So I absolutely understand exactly what you're talking about there. And the fact that we hadn't seen enough of him. Like you said, we saw him 4 games. He was out by week 6, right? So I think that's going to do it for us here. I am just going to put this out there. When I was talking about moving up in the draft, a lot of people talking about sending the house and everything and all the draft picks to move up to 4 to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. And look, I'd love to have Marvin Harrison Jr. as a Colt. All right, right. But that ain't going to happen. I just don't.
So, everybody in the league would like to have Marvin Harrison on their team. Right.
Right. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. I'm Lawrence Owen. That's Donald Thomas. This was Believe in Colts brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Do you believe? For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.